Let's see. Am I one volume too late? Could be. Could be I should be in previous volume. Oh, good. Wow. On top of this. Thank you very much. Just with the image. Om Gyan Tinirantasya Gyananjana Shadakaya Chakshur Nilitam Jena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manogistam Sthapitam Jena Bhutale Svayam Rupa Dharmayam Tathati Shapadatikam Vandeham Shri Gurau Shri Jata Padakamalam Sri Guru Vaishnavamsha Sri Rupam Chagrajatam 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 Itam Stam Sakivam Sadvetam Savadhutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Sri Radha Krishna Padam Chagrajatam Lolita Sri Vishakhandhamsha Hey Krishna, Karuna Sindho, Dina Bandho, Jagatpate, Gopesha, Gopika Tanta, Radha Tanta, Namostute, Tapta Kamshana Govangi, Radhe Vrindavaneshwari, Prashavanu Sute Devi, Pranamami Holi Priye, Vansha Kaupatadurbhyascha, Kripa Sindho Kyevacha, Patitanam Pavanebhyo, Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha. Shri Krishna Chaitanya, Prabhu Nityananda, Shri Advaita Gadadhar, Shiva Sadi Gaur Bhaktavrinda. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Thank you all very much for being here. And let's do an auspicious cell phone check. All cell phones, silent mode, please. And cameras in pockets. No photography. Photography could be. So today is the auspicious appearance day of Lord Balaram. Lord Balaram is Krishna. Prabhupada sometimes says the only difference is that Krishna is black and Balaram is white. Krishna expands in different ways. In one form of expansion, Krishna's forms are all identical. Just as when he married so many queens, he expanded himself into identical forms. He married each queen at the same time. Or when Lord Brahma stole the calves and cowherd boys, that was a different kind of expansion. Krishna expanded differently. So Lord Balaram is not different from Krishna, but in his features he appears different, and in his mood he's also different. Lord Balaram has the mood of being the servant of Krishna. He's Krishna, but he's also in the mood of being the servant of Krishna. Dhanadhar Maharaj, you were mentioning that yesterday, that he's in the hall. Practically everything is there. He's in the servant relationship, he's in the friend relationship, he's the older brother, so he's in a parental relationship. So in so many different ways, Lord Balaram serves Krishna at the same time that he's Krishna himself. And Srila Prabhupada established in Vrindavan Krishna Balaram. And his one purpose was to establish Vrindendra Nandana Jay Shashi Shukhavai Roshe Balaram Hajaranatai. That the same Krishna, Vrindendra Nandana, has appeared as Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in Kali Yuga, and the same Balaram has appeared as Nityananda Prabhu. Nityananda Prabhu, or Lord Balaram, are considered the spiritual master, original spiritual master. Bala means strength also. So we take pleasure in the strength of Lord Balaram, or Lord Balaram takes pleasure in his own strength. And it's said in the Shastra that without getting strength from Lord Balaram, no one can make progress in spiritual life. One requires strength from Lord Balaram. And Lord Balaram expands himself or appears in this world through the medium of the bona fide spiritual master. The bona fide spiritual master is considered to be the representative of Lord Balaram for instructing the conditioned souls and engaging them in the service of Krishna. In the hierarchy of Krishna's expansions, Lord Balaram is the original expansion from Krishna. From Balaram expands Sankarshan, then Narayan, then Sankarshan, Pradyumna, Adiruddha, Vasudev. And then there's a quadruple expansion, another quadruple expansion. Finally, we come to the Purushavatars, Mahavishnu, Parvadaksha Vishnu, Triyadaksha Vishnu. They're also expansions of Lord Balaram. The Sheshanaga, Ananta Shesh, is also the expansion of Lord Balaram as the servant of Krishna. He serves Lord Vishnu as his couch, as his umbrella, as his slippers, as his sacred thing. And as the material worlds are all manifested by the agency of the Purushavatars, Mahavishnu, and so on, the spiritual world is manifested by Mahasankarsana. The whole existence of the spiritual world is manifest by the power of Balaram. So Lord Balaram is unlimitedly powerful, and he appears along with Krishna. When Krishna descends from Goloka Vrindavan, then Balaram also descends, and together they perform their transcendental activities. Samaramayana is mentioned in the first canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, that Krishna appeared along with Baladev when the avatars are listed. So in that list, Krishna and Balaram are listed practically as one incarnation. Krishna Saharamayana, along with Lord Balaram. Though there are many pastimes performed by Lord Balaram in Vrindavan along with Krishna, killing the Pralambasura, the killing of many other demons, the Tenukasura and his companions, many. That's Vinashaya Chudushkritana. And outside Vrindavan also, Lord Balaram has many pastimes. Sometimes he goes on pilgrimage, sometimes he kills the Vidaguru gorilla, sometimes he kills the Balbo, and sometimes Rama Harsha. The Balaram is the original spiritual master, and cheap imitations are not appreciated. This Rama Harshan was posted by the sages to speak on Shastric topics. And while the meeting was going on, Lord Balaram entered the assembly. Everyone stood up to honor him. But this Rama Harshan, being seated on the speaker's seat, he just remained there. I'm the representative of God, I'm speaking. So he didn't get up to offer respect. So then Lord Balaram considered that this guy is a fool, essentially. He's supposed to be representing me, actually. And he's got some other idea in his mind. So then Lord Balaram, with a kusha straw only, doesn't need a greater weapon than that, killed him, finished him off. Then it was a problem because the sages said to Balaram, but we gave him a benediction that he would live for this 10,000-year sacrifice. Then Lord Balaram, all right, then I'll bring him back to life. No, you killed him. You had a good reason. So then it's something of a perplexity what to do. Then Lord Balaram posted his son because the father lives on through the son. Placed his son there on the seat. Then the sages said, all right, that's all right. Now still you have to do some tapasya, some repentance. So they gave him some jobs to do. There's this Balbal demon, you have to kill him. And then go on pilgrimage and become purified. So Lord Balaram also did that. On the excuse of doing tapasya or penance, he purified so many sacred places by his presence. There were many other activities performed by Lord Balaram. Today I was reading one, mainly because it's not that, I don't hear about it that much. So I thought, all right, I'll read this one. This happened after Krishna Balaram left Vrindavan. They become Kshatriyas and take up their kingdom in Dwarka. And while they're living in Dwarka, one of Krishna's sons, Krishna had a big family, 16,108 queens, 10 sons by each queen. One of the chief queens was Jambavati, and her chief son was Sambha. He's called Sambha because he was always with his mother. So Sa Amba. He's always with his mother, or Jambavati Sutta. So he kidnapped one girl, Lakshmana, a very qualified princess, who happened to be the daughter of Duryodhana, the son of Dhritarashtra. So she wasn't very much inclined to have him. She was being a princess, she had her Swayamvara, where she could choose her own husband. But before she got a chance to choose, this Sambha kidnapped her, absconded with her. Rape in the old sense of the term. You'll footnote that. So then the Kurus became, said, outraged that this boy has kidnapped our daughter. And they decided to teach him a lesson by arresting him but not killing him. because now that he'd been associated with the girl, she couldn't get married to anyone else, so they didn't want to kill off her husband. But they wanted to show him something, teach him a lesson. So they got together and decided that they would arrest him with the permission of the elders of the family, like Bhishma and others. They made a party with Karna and other powerful members of the Kaurava army. They made a small party and to arrest him. So they approached him, or they, approached him in a military sense, approached him, and challenged him, kept stand and fight. So, that's all right, I'll stand and fight. And there was, he fought very heroically against them. So much so that they were in admiration. How this boy, because he was a Maharat, that means a person who can fight against so many other troops, as they say these days, single-handedly. So with one arrow he killed, one arrow each, he killed the horses of the opponents, then he knocked out their drivers, and so many ways. Just a one-man show. But they were also Mahāratas, so they ganged up on him, and they broke his chariot and arrested him. So then it came, the Kurus had considered that if we arrest him, then the Yadavas will be offended. But even if they want to retaliate, what can they do? We're more powerful than they are. They're like the vassals. They're a subordinate state. They're really getting their power from us. We're the rulers of the world. We're the kings of Hastinapur. And what will the Yadavas do? So we can go ahead and arrest this boy. So they did. And then the Yadavas, as predicted, became outraged. This is Kshatriya spirit. We don't take anything lying down. If there's a challenge, you have to respond. And there's a sense of pride there, and a sense of not wanting to be shown up by anybody else. So the Yadavas started getting ready to retaliate. And Balaram got in the middle of things and said, no, let's, after all, we're family members and we're all, we have a good relationship with the Kauravas. So why don't we talk with them nicely and settle it? Why should we needlessly go to war over this? I can go talk with them. Because Balaram also had a very close relationship with the Kauravas. Krishna always favored Arjuna, but Balaram always favored Duryodhana. One name of Balaram is Duryodhana Guru, the teacher of Duryodhana. Duryodhana, by the grace of Lord Balaram, became the most expert club fighter in the world. So Krishna favored one side, and Balaram always favored the other side. When Subhadra was to be married also, Krishna wanted her to be married with Arjuna, and Balaram was favoring Duryodhana. This is one of the interesting features of God. He can disagree with himself and take two different forms to do it, and enjoy by himself, with himself, by taking two opposing sides at the same time. We see this also when Krishna arrested Rukmini, the brother of Rukmini, and made him, probably said, funny looking by cutting off his hair in patches and arresting him and cutting off his hair in patches. And then when Balaram arrived, and Rukmini, of course, was in quite a bit of distress because her newly married husband had just done this to her brother. So then Krishna began to rebuke Balaram began to rebuke Krishna. Krishna, what is this? He's our brother-in-law and you're doing this. It's not very good. But then he would speak to Rukmini, then why are you so attached to such a foolish brother? So he was going back and forth this way. So he has a different view. The same personality of Godhead can take different sides on the same issue and disagree with himself. So Krishna was, Balaram is quite a friend to the Kauravas. So he thought, let's settle this in a peaceful way. So he took some, an entourage with him, took a party, and went to Hastinapur to meet the Kauravas. And when he arrived, he camped outside the city for them to come out. And when they heard, and sent some, I think Uttava was with him, sent Uttava to the city to report that Lord Balaram is here with a few things to say to you. And the Kauravas, hearing the news, were quite joyful that Lord Balaram has come. They knew that Balaram is the Supreme Personality of Godhead and he's the well-wisher of our dynasty, so they were really overjoyed. And they came out with various presents for Lord Balaram and offered him a very respectful reception. The news had come to the Yadu dynasty, by the way, by the agency of Narada. Always likes to move things along. So then Lord Balaram spoke to them very strongly in a commanding tone, full of heroic assertion, supremacy, and chivalry. And he told them, let's see. That yes. He said that I've come as the messenger of the great King Ugrasena. Please hear very attentively what his order is. You should at once carry out that order. He knows that you fought improperly with the pious Sambha, who was alone, and you ganged up on him. But we're not agitated about that, because we're very intimately related, so we shouldn't disturb our relationship or by unnecessary fighting. You should at once release Sambha and bring him before me along with his wife, Lakshmana. Yes, Lakshmana. And then when the Kauravas heard this, they became offended. And their response, these words were very astonishing, but quite befitting the age of Kali. Otherwise, how could Balaram speak so vituperatively? The language and tone used by Balaram are simply abusive. And due to the influence of this age, it appears that the shoes befitting the feet want to rise to the top of the head where the helmet is worn. We're connected with the Yadu dynasty by marriage, and because of this, they've been given the chance to come live with us, dine with us, sleep with us. Now they're taking advantage of these privileges. They had practically no position before we gave them a portion of our kingdom to rule, and now they're trying to command us. We have allowed them to use the royal insignias like the wrist, fan, conchinal, light umbrella, royal throne. They should not have used it in our presence, but we didn't check them because of our family relationship. Now they have the audacity to order us to do things well enough of their impudence. We can't allow them to do any more of these things, nor allow them to use these royal insignias. Best to take all these things away. It's improper to feed a snake with milk, since such merciful activities simply increase its venom. So it's due to us, due to our magnanimity, that they have their kingdom. That great persons like Dhritarashtra and Bhishmadev have allowed them to have some position. But now just see how they're insulting us. In this way they responded. So you might imagine how Lord Balaram took that. Let's see what he says, in fact. He patiently heard their insulting words, but he was burning with anger. It became clear from his appearance, and he was thinking of retaliating with great vengeance. His bodily features became so agitated that it was difficult for anyone to look at him. And he laughed and loudly said, "It's true that a man becomes too puffed up because of his family, opulence, beauty, and material advancement, and then he no longer wants a peaceful life but becomes belligerent to others. It's useless to give such a person good instruction for gentle behavior and peaceful life, but on the contrary, one should search out ways and means to punish him." Then Lord Balaram took it that by insulting the Yadu dynasty, they've insulted me personally. But then he says that what to speak of the King Ugrasena, whose orders are obeyed even by Indra. Don't you even think that Lord Krishna can sit on the exalted royal throne and command everyone? Does it mean that even Lord Krishna, the Lord of the whole creation, the husband of the goddess of fortune, can't use this royal paraphernalia? The Ganga is inundating the whole world, and since it emanates from his lotus feet, its banks have turned into great pilgrimages. The principal deities of all planets are engaged in his service and consider themselves most fortunate to take the dust of the lotus feet of Krishna on their helmets. Great demigods like Lord Brahma, Lord Shiva, even the goddess of fortune and I are simply plenary parts of his spiritual identity. And still you think that he's not fit to use the royal insignia or even sit on the royal throne? So in this way, and he goes on to some extent, expressing his opinion about the foolishness of these Kauravas, who haven't taken into account that the Yadava dynasty is glorified by the presence of Lord Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And in comparison to Lord Krishna, who are these coolies? So it's true that the sandals meant for the feet are trying to rise to the position of the head, but they've got it wrong as to who the sandals are. So then Lord Balaram took his plow. Lord Balaram has two weapons. Lord Vishnu has four weapons, the Shankha Chakra, Gada Padma. Lord Balaram has two weapons. His Gada, his club, and a plow. The plow can also be used as a weapon. We'll hold over from the rural days in Vrindavan, where Balaram keeps the plow, but he uses it for other things than plowing. So he picked up this plow and prepared to began striking the earth creating essentially earthquakes, creating natural disasters, creating earthquakes in Hastinapur. And it appeared that Hastinapur was about to fall into the Jumuna, or the Ganga. Ganga in that part is called Jumuna. So the commentators say that Lord Balaram's plow grew very large as he picked it up. And by his strength, the whole city of Hastinapur became endangered. And so the Kauravas very quickly changed their tune. They begged the forgiveness of Lord Balaram, glorifying Balaram. You're the reservoir of all pleasure. You're the maintainer and support of the entire cosmic manifestation. Unfortunately, we were all unaware of your inconceivable potencies. Dear Lord, please consider us most foolish. Our intelligence was bewildered and not in order. Therefore, we've come before you to beg your pardon. Please excuse us. You are the original creator, sustainer, and annihilator of the whole cosmic manifestation. And still, your position is always transcendental. O all-powerful Lord, great sages speak about you. You are the original puppeteer, and everything in the world is just like your toys. O unlimited one, you have a hold on everything, and like child's play, you hold all the planetary systems on your head. When the time comes for dissolution, you close up the whole cosmic manifestation within yourself. At that time, nothing remains but yourself lying in the causal ocean as Mahavishnu. Our dear Lord, you have appeared on this earth in your transcendental body just for the maintenance of the cosmic situation. You are above all anger, envy, and enmity. Whatever you do, even in the form of chastisement, is auspicious for the whole material existence. We are offering our respectful obeisances unto you because you are the imperishable Supreme Personality of Godhead, the reservoir of all opulences and potencies. O Creator of innumerable universes, let us fall down and offer you our respectful obeisances again and again. We are now completely surrendered unto you. Please, therefore, be merciful upon us and give us your protection. Then Lord Balaram immediately softens and reassures them that there's no need to fear, no need to worry now that they've surrendered to him. And Lord Balaram then triumphantly returns to Dwarka with Sambha and Lakshmana, and the matter is settled up very nicely. Srila Prabhupada comments that the challenge given by the Yadu dynasty, by the Kauravas to the Yadu dynasty was just to show the power of Sambha, the chivalry of Sambha. They wanted to bring that out. And that the whole pastime, essentially, was arranged to show the glories of the Lord. So those things are all shown in this pastime, and especially the prayers offered by the Kauravas express a clear understanding of the glories of Lord Balaram.
We have a few minutes, are there some questions or comments?
Where were the Pandavas at that time?
They were in Indraprastha. Yeah, the commentators say that Yudhisthira and the others were not involved in this because they were in Indraprastha at that time. and the Yukara was really nicely done.
Departure of Lord Balarama?
Yeah. But you can mention about Ramaharsana.
About?
Ramaharsana. And I believe he was at the time of when the Bhagavatam was spoken by Sukadeva Goswami.
This is Ramaharsana Sutta.
This is Ramaharsana Sutta?
Ramaharsana couldn't have been there for Srimad Bhagavatam. He was dead. So his son is there.
So at this time, Bhagavatam was spoken at.
Bhagavatam is spoken later when Prakshit Maharaj, after the Pandavas have already handed everything, Kurukshetra war is over, the Pandavas have handed over the kingdom to Prakshit Maharaj, then Prakshit Maharaj is cursed by a Brahmin boy, and then Sukadeva Goswami speaks to Maharaj Prakshit, and then later Sutta Goswami relates these things to the sages of Nainisharan. So that's quite a bit later. Something else?
What was the Yuga Dharma in Dwapara Yuga? Or did they chant Hare Krishna back then also?
Did they chant Hare Krishna in Dwapara Yuga? In Dwapara Yuga, the method is temple worship. That was the Yuga Dharma for Dwapara Yuga. But of course they glorified Krishna. Chanting Hare Krishna is especially the Yuga Dharma for this age. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. And this, nice that we chanted that, because in that particular mantra, Lord Balaram's name comes. This Hare Rama, sometimes Rama can be taken to mean Lord Balaram. Or sometimes it's taken to be Lord Ramachandra. Or sometimes it's taken to be Krishna himself. Ramante yogino adhante satyananda chiratani iti rama padena so parandam adhikriyate. Because the absolute truth is the reservoir of pleasure, he's also known as Rama. So in the Mahamantra, you can take Ram as Krishna himself, or Balaram, or Lord Ramachandra, Advaitam Ajutam Anadim Anantari. The same personality of Godhead appears in many different forms, and they're all Advaita. We also have Advaita philosophy. Not the Advaita philosophy of the impersonalists who refuse to acknowledge any variety in spiritual existence, but recognizing that that variety is all a manifestation of the one personality of Godhead, Krishna. Everything is Vasudeva Sarvamitya, Krishna is everything. And he manifests himself with all the varieties of the spiritual world, and even the varieties of the material world are also manifestations of Krishna. And the living entities who are marginal energy are also just manifestations of Krishna. So Krishna is everything, and our business is to surrender to Krishna and enter into the spiritual energy. The impersonalists enter the spiritual energy in a form or in a formless state, sacrificing their individuality and missing out on all the action, missing out on the enjoyment of spiritual exchanges. But the devotees engage in the service of the Lord in their eternal spiritual identity. Anything else? Other questions or comments?
No.
Prince Balaram killed Guru Maharshi. He had just been granted the benediction of long life by the sages. And so they were a little myth because their benediction didn't seem to be very efficacious. So to please, to satisfy them, that's how that benediction of long life got transformed.
Yeah, the sages were a bit miffed that Balaram had thwarted their benediction. He cut short the life of someone who'd been granted a long life. So that's how that benediction was transferred to the son of Maharaj. Something else. Okay, we're allowed to stop for 4 minutes early. Right? Thank you all very much. Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna. Please let's thank Maharaj once again for the